This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Check out DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC. New users can bet $1 on Conor McGregor to win by a knockout in the first round, and if he does, you'll be cashing in $257. Download DraftKings Sportsbook app and sign up using the code FANRUN in all caps. Must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Restrictions apply. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
These guys, I think, have great respect for each other. I think they have great respect for each other's work ethic. It's something that we've always tried to emphasize. These guys are working hard, and I think they know we can get better. We have to get better.
Now from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is 3 and Out with Nate Hodges and Houston Kress. Many imitators, no duplicators. Fan Run Radio.
And that is going to wind this one down and out. Tennessee on the road rocks them at Rupp, 81-73. What a performance from Rick Barnes, Volunteers, and a shocking result for number 6 Kentucky on the night. They were moved to a 2-seed.
Balls are back. The 4-line will be taking a bite out of everybody we play's ass. Thank you very much.
There was a time and place that this university was feared. My goal is to get us back.
Since 1974, I know what the University of Tennessee and the great fan base here is about. I know that. When people talk about Rocky Top, I know what they're talking about.
We can dance if we want to. We can leave your friends behind. Cause your friends don't dance, and if they don't dance, well, that no friends of mine. Say, we can go where we want to, place where they will never find. And we can act like we come from out of this world, leave the real one far behind. We can dance. We can go when we want to, night is young and so am I. And we can dress real neat from our hearts to our feet and surprise them with a victory cry. Say, we can act if we
welcome into the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios of Fan Run Radio.
Yay, sports.
Wednesday edition of the program.
Love our sports.
Do we?
No.
Do we love them?
No, we don't.
Do we love the sports now?
Nope.
We don't. We're out. We're out on sports.
Don't like them.
Okay. What was that? What was it? I still can't. I mean, like, I just didn't even. I didn't recognize. That was last year's basketball team.
Yep.
That was a team that just doesn't have it.
I think we got our answer to the question of new football coach or Final Four.
Sometimes fate intervenes.
It was a crappy meal.
Boom.
Oh,
boom.
Such a bad joke. Still funny.
I thought it was pretty good, actually. Out of nowhere! Send it in, Jerome.
That's new intern Alex, just easing in the program this morning, just slinking in. That's a dad joke. Dan Patrick reports that the Jeremy Pruitt coaching staff was passing out literal bags of cash in the most. How do I describe this? The humblest of ways, in the lowest level of baggage, not a Samsonite.
Yeah, new definition for bagman.
When I say bags of cash, I'm a very visual person. What mm-hmm. pops into your head if I say Houston bags of cash? What image do you have?
Duffel bag.
A duffel. Okay.
Like blue chips.
All right. I guess I'm weird. I picture like a black carry-on. like a small one, but still. It's like, you know, it's formed. It's the rect. It's the.
Hey, it's a little 3D. Could be a little duffel.
Yeah, yeah, rectangle. You want to be able to lock that thing down.
Right. Know? Yeah. Yeah. Zippers and latches and
not
such.
Not one time in my life have I pictured the brown paper sack like you carry your lunch in the 1950s. Or a McDonald's or other fast food, cut the check, other fast food establishment.
I just kept thinking of McDowell's in Coming to America when Akeem gets all the money from Simi and gives it to the Duke brothers on the street. Randolph, Randolph, we're back. That's the only thing I could picture.
Only Jeremy Pruitt's staff would use bags of cash that are the cheapest. Just,
I don't buy it. I just don't
think it's real.
No,
oh,
I don't. I don't buy it. Come on.
He's gone now. Just trash him. It doesn't matter.
No, I mean, I would. I just don't.
They're
don't,
dumb. They're sloppy. But
you don't think?
I mean, right? I mean, they obviously they're dumb. They're sloppy. They got fired for it. But come on.
Have you seen the picture?
So
and on our on fanarray.com, Tennessee allegedly handed recruits McDonald's bags full of cash.
Dan would have been better
off. That's Will's meme. It's a good meme.
Just going with that take. If you don't end it with, I'm hearing Jason Witten's in the name in the running for the head coach.
Yeah, that.
Your damn Patrick needs work, by the way. But yeah,
that wasn't. I don't know.
He just. Yeah.
I was trying to like get the.
It was brutal. That entire little
static in there, and I
was
trying to like, talk differently to fight to get it to stop being staticky, and now I'm just aggravating. Okay. Ah, man, that hurts.
It'll bounce back.
Yeah.
It always does.
Handed him Happy Meals full of cash and Jason Witten.
Crappy Meals.
Crappy Meal.
I'm going to remember that. Oh, man.
I can't.
Didn't we all have a lock of the week or lock of the night that South Carolina was going to beat Missouri?
No, they said they'd cover.
Oh, what was the line? Probably less than 11.
Yeah, it was less than 11.
Missouri won 81-70. Tennessee lost 75-40. 49 points. To a Gators team that was missing their three best players.
Yes. Yeah. Keontae Johnson out with a heart issue. Scotty Lewis out with COVID issue. And then the big man, whose name escapes me, he had a really good game over the weekend. But he rolled his ankle and he was out too.
They didn't even do anything special. Like, they were 6 of 19 from 3. That's, you know, below the national average. I don't know what their average is normally. It's probably a little below it. They were 7 of 11 from the line. So we didn't foul them a ton.
Mm-mm.
That's not a great percentage or anything.
They just wanted it more.
It was a freaking blowout anyway. It's not like it mattered. We went to the line 25 times. Of course, we were 3 of 18 from 3.
Yeah.
Alabama hit 23 threes last night.
Thanks, Davey. If it wasn't freaking Alabama, I would enjoy that team, but it's freaking Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love the way they play and everything. If that was like Billy's Creighton squad, I'd be like, Creighton, yeah, let's go.
Last night was not...
Not ideal.
I mean, are they just sad over Fulmer? Like, is that it?
That's it.
They just...
It's the term.
They love their athletic director so much that just it was a busy day.
22 points in the second half. 22.
Oh, God. I mean, we've said it, man. This offense, if you have a bad night.
This offense sucks. It sucks. They're running an offense that is designed to feature the post players. And so, unless John Fulkerson just goes ham like he did in Rupp Arena last year, like it's going to have periods where it just struggles. Like, there's not a lot of...
That was a 40-minute struggle period.
I mean,
it was bad.
There's not a lot of natural spots in the... I mean, there are only natural spots in the offense for guys, for guards to slash and take advantage of space against their man, whereas most college offenses now are trying to create that all over the court. I mean, it's an old-school offense, philosophy. Like, and once... I'll tell you this... I've been there I've been there with high school kids, but still, the problem with running the same motion year in and year out all the time and for the whole season is, especially in conference, late in the – you start playing a team three times, they're used to it, man. Mm. Late in the season, you practice your same motion against your own guys over and over and over. Everyone knows how to defend every screen in that offense. And there's still a way to come off the screen to punish the defender, but the defenders all know the best way to at least mitigate how effective you're going to be off every screen, every cut, and all that stuff. And I wonder, since Tennessee's run this now for, what, at least 3 years, and now you know,
cut the check.
You play Florida again later, you play them in the SEC tournament, if we have one, whatever. Like, I mean, Mike White can just be like, all right, here's the Tennessee offense, here's what they're trying to do. I mean, there's a whole clinic tape out on it. Like, and we never go into special sets, especially unless it's like right at the end of the game. Well, if you're getting blown out, you don't even get to those. Mm. So, like, if I don't know, my philosophy as a basketball coach was we ran our motion. It was the same idea as Rick Barnes's motion, where you come down the court with principles immediately because you're trying to score early. Like, you want to score early. You want to break and score before they really set up. If that doesn't work, it flows right into your motion offense, and you run motion. I don't have to call a play every time the kids come down the court. They just come down the court and they run offense. However, if we're sputtering, if we're in a slump, we would go to our quick hitters. I mean, it might be the third minute of the game. If we're 3 minutes in and we've got 4 points, 2 points, 1 point, we're gonna go to a quick hitter that gets our best player or one of our best players the ball in a spot they can score. I mean, you know what? One of our favorites was a Dean Smith play that ends with a diagonal back screen where we got our post player coming off of it. Where if they're either wide open to catch and lay it up, but even if they're not, they come off with their defender trailing and they're going to be able to post up and get the ball right on the block. For this team, maybe that's not the like I don't know. Like we got these tweeners that. Like, Keon took 10 shots, but he made 3. To me, that means he's not getting the right shots. Like, maybe they need him just going to the basket more.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe he needs to post his guy up more and get the ball. I mean, like, in the pinwheel motion that Barnes runs, I feel like a lot of these guys are just taking shots that could be better if he would run some specific stuff and do it early in the games. He runs those quick hitters late in a tight game, but I don't see much offensive ingenuity when Tennessee's getting, you know, in an offensive slump to break them out. And you haven't seen that all the way back to – remember the Grant and Admiral teams where it's like they get down 11 and all of a sudden they go on a 24-2 run, mm-hmm. and then they blow the team out? That's what you get when it's just all motion all the time. It starts flowing, guys start getting good shots, and they're catching rhythm and knocking down threes and then going inside and scoring and getting fouled, and it's great. But, I mean, sometimes you got to pull the strings a little more on a basketball team and make sure that you get the basketball where you want it with the guy. I mean, for this team, it might be just run a set to where all of a sudden Keon's able, the whole court's cleared out, and he's able to work his guy up the lane and either back cut him if he's overplaying or just get the basketball and the whole side's cleared out and it's one-on-one and just let him go to work. Alabama just does that on the whole court.
Mm-hmm.
Five out, we'll just play, you know, shoot a bunch of threes. Anyway.
18 turnovers.
Nate. Stepping off the basketball offensive soapbox, take it away.
18 turnovers.
What is that? What I tell you a month ago? Sloppy with the basketball. We can't really shoot, so we got to be super efficient with where we shoot it. And those two things were a train wreck last night.
Victor Bailey, 1 of 12 from the floor.
I didn't even see him because he didn't start. He's way down there at the bottom of a box.
2 of 6 from the free throw line. As a team, Tennessee from the free throw line, 12 of 25.
We can't shoot. Barnes, Bash, and Billy would tell you Victor Bailey got a little Lamonte in him, shoot you right out of a game.
Yeah, someone on this show like said he's the kind of guy who can shoot you into or out of games. Might have been Billy one day when he was in here. He also had 5 turnovers himself, Victor Bailey Jr. That's a really bad 25 minutes. Do we miss Springer that much?
No, it wasn't going to make a difference last night. Like, that was just, I said it, probably about 5 minutes into the game, they didn't get off the plane.
You said Victor Bailey can shoot us into or out of games. Has he shot us into a game this season yet?
He was your leading scorer in 3 games early. I thought that were fairly close. Like, if you didn't have him, you're probably not winning the game.
1 of 12.
But last, I mean, yeah, like, who had a good performance last night? Like, that's the better question. Like,
nobody.
He and Keon were 4 of 22 combined.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. I mean, like, they're not 3-point shooters. I mean, Bailey, I take that back. Bailey's a 3-point shooter. Johnson, not so much.
Mm-mm.
No,
like,
not
they,
at all.
They need to be getting shots like at the rim. These need to
Johnson,
be like,
Johnson only took 1 3.
That's what I'm, but still, I mean, that these guys need
combined
more.
0 of 7 from three, though.
He needs more contested layups.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keon missed a few contested layups at the rim and at the foul line as well. He went 2 for 7. He was drawing fouls down there, but he's not converting on it.
That's a killer. Let's see. Victor Bailey.
This reminded me of Alabama because in that game, if I'm not mistaken, Plavsic and Anisicki and maybe even Pember came in really early.
You had Conway in 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
1 minute.
What?
Conway came in 1 minute into the game.
Yeah. I missed the first, like, 3 minutes of the game, I think.
Yeah.
Like, what?
Yeah,
in his post-game press conference, Barnes said that he subbed Fulkerson out early because the guys were looking to him to, you know, orchestrate the offense or get a bucket for them to get them going, and he was just nowhere to be seen, so he subbed him out of there.
He did look – it was a very lackadaisical approach for Folky very early on, but I mean, I don't know
maybe
if I'm taking him out there.
Yeah, maybe he's on the like the hydros or something, right? Like the wisdom teeth, and he's on the medicine.
They didn't get off the plane, man. They didn't.
Yeah, it's not like some of them played well. Like, everybody on the team had a bad night. Yeah. Anisicki, good Lord. Right after I said, well, at least he works hard, doesn't hurt you, he hurt you.
That layup.
Two turnovers, like, back-to-back, basically.
He only had one layup.
God, in the game. Rough. Yeah, the missed layup was – didn't he miss a dunk, too?
Did he? I remember the missed
any
layup.
Dunk?
No, we had two
turnovers. I don't know,
we
man.
Had,
like, he can't get off the floor.
We had two turnovers that kind of involved him. I think the other was
okay.
on the guard that he tried to screen for or something. Yeah, it was awful. Victor Bailey, let's see.
Tennessee as a team had 11 assists.
He was 5 of 10 against St. Joe's with 18 points. He was 8 of 12 against Upstate with 18 points.
Upstate.
Those are pretty good shooting numbers. He was 5 of 9 against Arkansas and had 17 points because he hit 2 of 3 from 3 and was 5 of 6 from the line. So he's had a few games. That Arkansas was probably his best in terms of efficiency.
Viscovi, I mean, you could tell he didn't even want to shoot it after he got hurt. I still don't know what exactly that issue was.
Looking at his hip?
Yeah. You could tell he was in pain, but... When he went off, I mean, like, he didn't have a good game by any stretch of the imagination.
No, he'd already
missed. But whenever he went off, I felt like they were turning it over every other possession, it seemed like.
Yeah, Tennessee had, like I said, 18 turnovers, 11 assists.
David.
This team's actually been pretty good with sloppy with the ball, but not, like, turn it over machine like they were last night.
Yeah, definitely not for a few games recently they've been okay. But it just rears its head out of nowhere. It's like they can't pass. You know, it's like they can't do just the easiest stuff. I don't know. Don't get me on my passing. So
an early loss like this would not be as upsetting if you had, you know, not lost by 26 points.
And only scored 49, you know.
I mean, that's like it's Conzo ball.
If Florida hits a gazillion threes and you lose, yeah, if you lose, you know, 80. They
were 6 of 19.
If you lose 89-80, you know, okay, whatever. But, yeah. Not this way.
What was how many points in the paint did they have? Didn't they have like 44 with 10 minutes to go in the game?
They had 42.
I think at halftime was
42 in the game?
Was it 23 to 8?
Maybe it was 39.
Am I misremembering that? But I want to say like around halftime, like Florida had like 22 or 23 points in the paint I guess it would have been 22. 22 to 8.
Yikes.
The offensive rebounding, atrocious. Like, it was just...
David says that Barnes was just – he's too focused on getting Gilbert hired. He wasn't focused on the game.
Let's focus on the task at hand, Rick. Please. Yeah, Tennessee out-rebounded 44 to 36. Pons, 4 rebounds.
Eric said it's a We Suck Wednesday.
Yep, saw that. Why did Joe only get 13 minutes? What was the deal there? Did he get banged up too? Anyone?
Don't know.
No idea?
I didn't notice an injury.
13 minutes for Josiah Jordan James.
He
started the game, and Anisicki got more minutes than he did.
So how many turnovers did he have?
2.
I don't know.
He had 3 fouls total, but no.
Did he get 2 fouls early? I don't remember.
Probably. You know. Then the game's out of control, and We're not going to put him back in there.
I mean, I don't know. He's not a game changer. Like, Josiah James is a good player. He doesn't change the game.
No. He fills the stat sheet in various ways, but it doesn't do one thing elite.
Well, and what I worry about is if the game's on the line and you're kicking the ball from, 16 feet down one, there's no way he's hitting that shot. Like, I mean, he's not – he hits shots sometimes, but I don't trust him to make shots.
Oh, that's fine. I'm not saying he'd miss it for sure, but right. I get what you're saying.
Well, I think he had that shot last year, and that's when he airballed.
I still won't ever forget the missed dunk against Memphis where he's wide open and, jumped too far, so it just clanks off the back of the rim and goes about 50 feet backwards.
He does remind me of, an eighth grader that's gotten way too tall too early, and they're kind of like,
are his shoes too big? Is this another?
Yeah, somehow we have a
Jalen Johnson.
Somehow
issue?
We have a 5-star tweener that still hasn't grown into his body yet. I'm not even kidding. That's how he plays sometimes. He's got the passing weird bug where he can take the ball and maybe it's just all these lefties.
Oh,
lefties are all a little weird. I mean,
Oh. Alex, are you left-handed?
Right-handed.
Okay, good. Just making sure. Didn't want to offend anybody.
I'm ambidextrous. It doesn't matter to me.
Josiah James could throw it to Alex, and it might be over here.
Maybe it's the spin of the ball.
Maybe, yeah. I don't know. Maybe we're just...
You're used to playing with
he literally just
gun.
Threw it right out of bounds.
They're all left-handed.
In one of the...
I know, what?
It's like the toilet spin. It's the opposite way.
So he's like, maybe they're used to playing... I was like...
If we played in Asia, I bet we would make every shot.
They're probably used to playing with more right-handed players, but the spin of the ball.
It doesn't matter now that we've gotten this far into the season.
We're in the wrong hemisphere. That's our problem.
Oh.
Spins the wrong direction.
There was I think we were down 11 second half with 10 minutes left, and I thought we could possibly make a run. And then Josiah James had an open three, and he took it, and immediately off the hands, so I was like, yeah, nope, that's not going in.
That was the air ball, right?
No, it got rim.
Oh, okay. Oh, good. It hit the rim. That's fine. Who was it? Who airballed the three last night?
This reminds me of going.
Oh, no, it's Victor Bailey. Yeah, he just.
This reminds me of trying to go better than 3-7 in basketball or in football. It was the airball, right? No, it hit the rim.
No,
that's fine. It hit the rim.
They gained the yard.
Got a first down. Yeah.
Second and 9.
Golly. We were the 6th-ranked team in the country.
We were the 6th-ranked team in the country.
And we looked like the team last year that was not going to make the tournament.
They're very inconsistent.
How did Anasicki score all those points on his team last year? That's what I don't understand. The guy cannot.
I don't know.
I don't feel like he could make it if no one was on the court.
9-foot rim? Maybe.
Was he playing in the Knox City League?
No, I'm really not trying to bash the guy, but he doesn't get off the floor. When he jumps, he doesn't go anywhere.
I mean, I love his work ethic. Don't get me wrong.
No, he's laterally, he's fine. He just can't jump.
So you think this is just SEC size is just now he can't score. He will never score. I mean, if he can't make that layup last night, the kid is never going to score. He might get a bucket.
He had 2 points.
Here or there.
There's that bucket.
Yeah.
He only took 2 shots.
He normally doesn't hurt you, but when they have him throw the ball in against a press, probably not ideal.
What about when he brought it up against the press, huh? Just waved everybody out, said, I got this.
That wasn't the time he turned it over?
It might have been.
No, the one who turned it over, he inbounded to a guard, to the point guard. He started jogging up the court. He was going to set the ball screen. Well, the two Florida guys were like, yeah, screw you. You can have the ball. And they just went and trapped the point guard. So he passes. Anasicki catches it, and as he turns and starts to dribble, now he's just in. I mean, he's in the briar patch, man. And the next two interceptors are just boom, boom, ball's gone, and they're going in for a dunk.
Barnes was really upset about the press. He said that he told his team before the game that he knew Florida was going to press. And so he told the other guards, like Victor Bailey, Josiah James, that you guys need to come up and help out Vescovi, and neither of them did that.
Well, Rick, you're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. So
he benched everybody last night. He said, Fulkerson, sit down. Josiah, sit down.
He should have gone Dean Smith and benched them all.
Yeah, the only guy he seemed to compliment in his postgame was Devontae Gaines.
It was his birthday, so that's probably why. Mm. But Gaines got 11 minutes, made 3 of 4 free throws. He got 5 rebounds.
He was your leading rebounder in 11
tied.
Minutes.
Yeah, tied, but tied for the lead with Joe.
Got
in 13 minutes.
5 rebounds in 11 minutes. In 30 minutes for John Fulkerson, 4 rebounds.
Whoa.
29 minutes for Pons, 4 rebounds.
We'll hit a break. We'll come back. We'll get Matt on the other line. 865-546-8200 if you want to weigh in. I have put out the bat signal. It is time. We need Rod to call in to 3 and Out to break this curse.
I'm Batman.
I hear there's a chance.
Oh, a chance.
We'll have an appearance. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon. It's a very Creed morning. If you'd like to weigh in, 865-546-8200 on the G3 Help Me hotline. Check them out online at g3helpme.com.
In search of alphas. Need them. Need someone to step up. Someone made the point. We've lost 2 games now when Springer's gone out.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's him. Maybe he's the alpha. The silent assassin.
I'm kind of with Davey, though. I don't. You could probably put Grant Williams on the team last night, and they wouldn't have won this game. Lost by 26.
How does that happen?
I don't know. We're the number 6 team in the country. We go play unranked Florida, missing their 3 best players.
That tied Florida's biggest win over a top 10 team.
Maybe we just want to keep Mike White there.
Smart, really. Yeah. Rick Barnes, chess, not checkers.
Like, give him a big win.
He's like, it's a tournament sport.
We
can afford a loss.
Yeah.
Alabama's running away with the league anyway. There's not even going to be a conference tournament.
They beat LSU 105-75 last night.
105. I know LSU doesn't play defense, but good God.
Nate Oates, man. Did you see the Aaron Torres, all the legends of Nate Oates that are starting?
No.
Yeah. It was like, I don't know which one of these, I don't know if any of these are true, but it was like a list of things he used to do to kids. It was all about shooting the 3.
Mm.
It was like he had 6 guns when he was a high school coach.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, you'd be lucky if you had 1 as a high school.
6 of them?
Yeah, they had 6 guns, and then they said...
I think the University of Tennessee has 2.
if you don't know what the guns are, that's the machine that basically returns the ball to you after you shoot
nets.
It. Yeah.
Yeah, and they said that he one time made a kid shoot 3s until he couldn't lift his arms anymore, and that kid made the 3 to win the state title game at the buzzer or something. All these things. One time he had a high school team, he told them that they could only take 3s in the game. As an experiment, like, you may not shoot any shot other than a 3, and they won, you know, 100-8 or something. Yeah, all these legends.
You should,
like, fishing stories, you know, as they get bigger.
Mm-hmm.
You should only shoot in the paint or a 3.
Bama had 3 guys with 20-plus points last night. We get lucky if we have 1.
What pair?
Did anybody have 20 last night? Petty. Did that streak break?
Petty had 24.
Oh, for Florida?
Yeah. I mean, probably not. I mean, they only had 75 points. So.
Their leading scorer only had 14.
They didn't. I mean, they didn't. We scored 49. It was easy. They didn't have to do anything.
We had 1 player in double figures last night. That is last year's team.
Yeah.
That is what happened last year.
Well, let's get Matt's thoughts on that. Matt, you're on 3 and Out. Thanks for hanging on there a minute. What's up, buddy?
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
I'm loving it.
Cut the check. Oh, it's free pub.
Great day for McDonald's.
Yeah, really. You guys don't think the spillover from just the trash that is Tennessee football got to the basketball team, do you?
It may have, man.
I mean...
Karma's a funny thing.
Karma? Is that what?
I didn't watch the game, thank God.
Yeah,
I was out for
my
dad's birthday.
Maybe not technically karma, but whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Yeah, it was that bad. Though, huh?
You didn't miss much, man. No, we like
recorded it.
Never in the game. Don't watch it.
Yeah, that,
burn the tape.
Yeah, I'm not. I was periodically checking just the timeline, scores and stuff, and I was like, just from looking at it on the phone when you're out at dinner, you know, you look, it's like, okay, we're down by 8. All right, we're down by 12. All right, we're down by 7. All right. Now we're down by 12. All right, we're down by 6. Okay. We're down by 20. What? And then just like, okay, I'm out.
Yeah.
Well, guys, it's a new day, though. I mean, you guys believe Dan Patrick. Y'all think that's legit? And I don't. But to his defense, if there was one institution that was going to pay players for McDonald's bag, it would be your University of Tennessee Volunteers.
Here's my theory, Matt. I think maybe there is a chance, maybe not a high likelihood, but maybe a chance that at some point that happened once. And then it just got, I mean, it's such a funny story. I mean, it just gets exaggerated, right? It turns into these legends.
It's funny.
Yeah. So it's like, it's the easiest way to explain to somebody how sloppy Tennessee is. If that happened once, then it's the easiest way to be like, yeah, they were even putting money in McDonald's bags. I mean, that's the way you would tell it, even if it only happened once. And then by the time it gets to Dan Patrick, it's, yeah, every recruit that came on their official visit got their name badge and a bag of McDonald's for breakfast with a stack of cash in it.
Yeah. I'll tell you what's even funnier for me, though. It's like you hear reports. I was looking at reports last night, just glancing through, and they're like, the University of Tennessee is extremely angry with Dan Patrick.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, why would you guys get upset? Just own the suck and where you're at. Like, don't be – it's like we're like the Real Housewives guys of, like, Atlanta or Orange County or whatever show, you know, with that 60-year-old lady that's well past her prime, that's pumping her face full of crap, that acts like a 20-year-old, is full of drama, and produces absolutely nothing.
But I mean, don't you talk bad about me.
Yeah, exactly. It's like you think you're something, but you're just a hag. Like, you're fake. That's what we are, dude. Like, just accept where you're at and just start from there. Like, quit trying to act upset at Dan Patrick because he said something that's actually kind of funny.
Yeah. It may or may not be true.
That may or not be true. Yeah. Oh, guys. Well, I got a golf trip scheduled for the Robert Trent Jones golf trail. So
good for you.
I think, you know, since Pruitt's out of a job, I might stop by there and grab some breakfast at the old McD's. And
there you go.
You know, order from Mo Jeremy Pruitt. And when he tells me that, you know, he's sorry for the wait, I'll say, don't worry about it, brother. You'll lose it eventually.
Oh, yes. Thanks for the call, Matt. Good. Thanks for the call. If you want to weigh in on the G3 Help Me Hotline, 865-546-8200.
What does Pruitt do now? Like, besides, I mean, obviously he's going to fight the the firing for cause.
Nothing. Just sit at home and read his notebooks.
You think he plays some golf this week? Go back down to Rainsville?
Yeah,
hit probably, the links?
Probably.
Fascinating. I still can't get over that game last night, man. To lose, whatever.
Yeah.
To not show up.
Right.
When you're the number 6 ranked team in the country against an arch nemesis. And to have zero fight. None.
Zip.
It's like they just didn't care.
Zilch.
Oh, we're down 20? Well, whatever.
I mean, it's only the Florida game. Don't worry about it, boys.
We get them again.
Yeah. I mean, it's only an SEC contest against your bitter rival. That's what makes me mad.
They had played so well on the road. Like, they played better on the road all year than they have at home.
I mean, there's going to be nights you don't shoot well, especially typically, not really this team, but typically, too, like, those nights come on the road. But you still would hope, like Davey said, that you get off the plane, play your ass off. I mean, it's normal to lose a tough game on the road to a team that you're better than in a basketball season, but not like that. That's an atypical loss for a team that we think should be, you know, top 10 in the country.
Against a Florida team without their three best players.
Yeah. And Mike White is their coach. Like, Barnes has coached circles around Mike White.
Not last night.
Before last night, yeah.
Yeah, Mike White usually has no plan, just kind of rolls him out there and sees what happens. I don't even remember what Florida did last night. Just whatever they did looked easy.
Just played aggressive. I mean, they were
your
face defense. They were pressing early.
They were really good defensively. I mean, nothing. It was like the start of the Missouri game, and then Missouri kind of faded away defensively, like intensity wise, because we were hitting shots. But last night, Florida, they were in your face. They were trapping. They were getting in the passing lane. They just wanted it. They cared. They were motivated.
They had 27 points off turnovers. It was almost as if every turnover we gave them, it reminded me of the meme where it's like, is this for me?
Yeah, it was easy. I mean, we couldn't protect the basketball.
Unreal.
And then we get, what's our next game? It's not LSU, is it?
Saturday night versus, I don't even know.
Missouri.
Oh, boy. Good. Good. Konzo. Round two. Fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm excited about it.
They're playing pretty well. We'll hit a break. We'll come back. Take a spin around the rest of the SEC. Set that one up. I guess that's the next question. Like, what do you do now as a fan, as a coach?
You just watch Alabama run away with it? Because they're pretty good.
Great.
I see a red door and I want it painted black.
No. Final segment, hour number one of the program. Just We Suck Wednesday, I guess. At least it's basketball. At least there's another opportunity against Florida. I'm sure we'll bounce back. It just makes you not trust this team, though, right?
Like, even
if they play great games for the next three or four, you're like, yeah, remember how bad we were that one night at Florida? And when it's funny, too, in a tournament sport where single elimination, you know, once you get in the NCAA tournament, maybe the best teams don't always win. It's the most consistent teams, right? The teams that just can play at a high level for multiple games in a row, that gives them the best chance to proceed through the tournament without, you know, having one of these games. I mean, you could have played – you probably lose your first-round game last night to, like, a 15 seed the way they played.
Yeah.
And that just can't happen. So, like, even if you lose that game but it's really close, okay – man, Florida's missing the three best players. We still lost. It was a close game. Okay.
Is that it? Did we just take them lightly? Like, oh, they're not going to be very good tonight. And then they came out inspired.
But
like,
I don't know how you like, don't. You can't ramp up. Like, you can't be like, man, we're dragging.
They
we
didn't.
Get going.
It's a Whopper Wednesday.
Whopper.
This guy.
That's Burger King.
Tough.
Yeah.
I thought
you were making a joke because Houston always gets Burger King. When the football team loses the first game of the year.
Now, if it had been Burger King, I'd have been on top of that story.
McDonald's is trash, and so are we.
It is the trashiest way to – I guess that's what I was trying to say. It's the trashiest way to pass money to recruits would be in the McDonald's. I picture –
there's no way it's true.
Houston pictures a duffel. I picture, a carry-on. When I say bagman, like, what do you picture?
Yeah, and duffel bag.
Duffel bag.
Like you see in TV shows and movies.
Yeah. Samsonite, I was way off.
Yeah.
Blue chips.
Does anybody...
Two large duffel bags.
Anybody picture like the silver suitcase?
With the handcuff to it?
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I don't picture that.
Like it's a bank robbery.
Nuclear codes or whatnot.
Yeah.
Dylan Brooks wants out of his letter of intent.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Gonna be a lot of that.
You think so?
Shuffling around. Just all of college football. Well, I mean, if you're not getting paid to come, like.
We don't know that.
The recruiting has been good.
That's going to replace Vols are back in the intro, by the way.
Thanks, Phil.
Recruiting certainly has been good. Yeah, Phil. It has been. Good job.
We're such a joke.
Really cracked that one.
At least we're
neat.
At least we're a funny joke now, so just a sad embarrassment joke.
Man, I really needed that win last night. You know,
I know.
Like,
we need to be like, football's in shambles, but basketball.
Six in the country, flex. Take care of business.
Nope,
can't even get off the bus. There is a new Tennessee athletic director hot board.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
A new one.
Well, some of the same names, but
okay.
Some new ones.
Okay.
John Gilbert, of course.
Mm-hmm.
No, thank you. I know Barnes loves him.
Yeah, I don't want him.
He was here when we hired Tindall. He was involved in the Lady Vol name change thing. I'd just rather not.
Yeah.
Dave Hart's right-hand man? No.
So they had Title IX issues here when he was here, and then somebody said they've had Title IX issues at East Carolina while he's there.
Oh, good.
So it just doesn't really.
Bring me Mark Ingram. He's on the list, UAB.
I've been convinced. I want Mark Ingram.
Raises a bunch of money. Other names now. Todd Stewart at Western Kentucky. We mentioned him yesterday. No, thank you. Hired Tyson Helton. Gerald Harrison, Austin Peay. We mentioned him yesterday. Dr. Mickey Allen, Tennessee State Athletic Director. Former Tennessee player. was on the 98 national championship team. No? Okay. Jamie Pollard, Iowa State athletic director.
Just because he hired Mike Campbell or whatever.
Was he the guy that initially hired Hoiberg there?
Possibly. He was named 2019 Athletics Director of the Year by the National Association of Collegiate Directors of Athletics. Mark Alnutt, Buffalo. Might be good if you want to go get their coach. Brian Maggard, Louisiana. Did you hear that?
So you just package deal?
Just saying. Kansas State grad. So those are some of the names.
Okay.
Actually, that's all of them on this specific list. Yeah, just give me Mark Ingram. Let's just be done. Ingram. Someone was talking to me yesterday, has kind of convinced me that Mitch Barnhart at Kentucky would not be a terrible hire.
Yeah.
I can get on board with that. I've also heard that Gilbert is pretty sure he's getting the job. So we'll see.
I just want to know what the timeline is on that. Like we need to go.
I've heard maybe by the end of this week.
We need to get that done. And get this new coach in here.
Alex Olive just texted me and said that ECU had to bring back two women's sports last week after a $200,000 Title IX settlement lawsuit. So yeah, John Gilbert hates females. That's what it sounds like.
Reed Carringer tweets, current UAB Mark UAB AD Mark Ingram would be a fantastic hire for Tennessee.
Yep.
He literally oversaw the resurrection of their football program.
From scratch, which is basically where we are.
He played at Tennessee, was an associate/assistant AD here and at Georgia. He's ready. He knows the politics. He cares, and I think he'd take it.
He brought in Andy Kennedy for their basketball team as well.
And hired Matt Rule.
At Temple.
Yeah,
I've heard he's a he's good with boosters, but he's not beholden to the boosters.
He's able to set some boundaries.
Yeah, which is exactly what we need. It also makes me really worried that
They won't hire him.
Right. Yeah.
Well, isn't it Bill Clark who said, "Yeah, Auburn talked to me, but I said I would need this," and they were like, "No," so I moved on. Which that's his guy, right? And that's his football coach right now.
Did you hear Trey yesterday say that apparently Kevin Steele dropped an F-bomb to the team in their meeting? He said, "I'm not a bleeping substitute teacher."
So?
In front of the chancellor and the president.
Oh, that meeting.
Yeah.
I thought you meant the player meeting.
No, this was the, "Hey, by the way, guys, we fired Jeremy Pruitt. This is Kevin Steele. He's going to be your interim coach." And he said, "I'm not a bleeping substitute teacher."
To the players, but with the chancellor standing there?
Yeah.
Okay. So then that's bad?
It's probably not good in front of the chancellor on your first minute on the job.
Gotta love that. Fire up the Kevin Steele train.
Turn your mic off. I am not firing up the Kevin Steele train. Forget
no.
Forget it.
Next.
Next. Next. No. We don't need that. If it has to be for a year while we battle through the NCAA stuff, whatever, okay. No.
No, but it doesn't. It doesn't have to be.
I'm just saying if no one will take the job and we fall to
no one will take the job.
I'm just saying if, Fulmer was apparently reaching out to people and nobody wanted the job.
Yeah, that was
maybe politics. Nobody wanted to work for Fulmer.
That was politics, yeah.
Let's get this athletic director hired. Gosh, I want Ingram. I want Ingram bad. I really don't even know much about him other than...
And you still want him?
I mean, like you said yesterday, I can watch a team play and say, yep, good coach. I have no idea. But he raises a lot of money. He started UAB from scratch. I feel like that's about where we're at. It just...
Do you know how hard it is to start a football program from scratch? I mean, it's the most expensive thing you can do in athletics. I mean, football costs a ton of money.
Yeah.
even at a low level. That's why a lot of these low level schools, small schools, don't have football teams.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously, you're in Alabama. It's kind of a football hotbed. Yeah, but yeah. You're also kind of what? One, two, three. You know, I don't know. Whatever you are. Fourth, fifth, sixth fiddle. You know, like, I mean, it's not. Are you third? I don't know.
Maybe, it might be third.
You're third now.
You're there with Troy.
But when you don't even have a team, how can you be third?
I agree with that.
You know, so he got him to third pretty quick, I guess. But good grief.
D. Kenyon tweets in, says, so we most likely won't go after Freeze because of NCAA issues, yet we're going to go after an athletic director that was key in hiring Donnie Tindall and has Title IX issues. Sounds like Tennessee. That would be
I do not want
John Gilbert.
I do not want John Gilbert.
He thinks he's getting the job.
He probably will.
I don't care what he thinks. Like, please don't give it to him. But again, if he gets the job and he hires a football coach I like, I don't know. How much does it really matter at that point?
No, that's fine. That's fair.
Like I said, I don't. I cannot believe we're in the 80 realm of sports talk radio. Only at Tennessee does that have to be a topic.
Yes.
I mean, I swear, if you're in another town and you do sports talk, there are probably sports talk hosts somewhere in a college town who knows the AD's name and probably couldn't pick them out of a lineup because the AD just
they're just there and things
the
happen.
Calls the boosters, gets some money, makes sure season tickets run okay, hires the coach, and then just stays out of the way. We seem to have the most we've had the most egocentric buffoons at AD. John Kerrion's big smile.
It also doesn't help that every time we have one, they have to have a coaching search for football.
Also true.
So they get like plastered front and center.
Yeah. You won't hear anything until it's from me.
I have a level of expertise and a level of information that nobody else has. I have a lot of hair dye also.
Good Lord.
I mean, it's just it's a mess. It's what we do.
And then, like, you know, Scott Strickland comes back. Guys at other schools just get to the podium, and they're just like the most normal people.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, we're going to hire a football coach. Probably take me a few days. I'll keep you guys posted. And then he comes back and he's like, yeah, we've interviewed these four guys. We're kind of working.
Yeah.
And then he comes back 2 days later. He's like, we've hired Dan Mullen. We're bringing him home. He won big here as a coordinator, we think. And then he's cut his teeth in the SEC at Mississippi State. We think he'll do a good job. And then, boom, there you go. They're in about top 10 in the country, and you never hear from Scott Strickland again. It's like, why is this so hard? Why is this so hard? It's like you look around college football, every other team up and down the field with the RPOs, and we got JG throwing it right to the other team. And fumbling the snap, Brandon Kennedy's like got the yips, snapping the damn football. We're jumping on sides. We're calling a million time. We're calling timeouts on defense we don't have because we used them on the first half. Somebody save us!